tonight, and I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Tonight is lesson number 17 on the subject of helping people. Helping people. And of course, that's what the Christian life's all about. God wrote a book, and it's a book that will help people. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, once you find it, I'd like for you to turn to verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let's stand together out of respect to the Word of God. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 5. I'm going to read it out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Look back at me, if you will. Tonight, the lesson is helping people by being a servant. Helping people by being a servant. And let me pray. Father, bless us now with thy presence. God, we came tonight, some hurried along the way. Others had some fears about the weather, but they're here. God, I certainly don't want them to feel shortchanged. I want them to get something that will help their life, that will help their home, that will help them. And God, most of all, that will help you. Bless us with your presence and your Holy Spirit's guidance. May we be receptive to the truth as it's given, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. This verse talks about Jesus coming to us, and he came to serve us. He was the greatest servant ever. He came to serve us. He came to serve God. The passage of Scripture that we just read said Jesus was God come in the flesh. It says that he came in the form of a servant. And he was indeed the greatest servant ever. You know, I don't think the great servants really get credit for most of what they do. You know, if you will think about it, Jesus was God. He was the God-man. There were people that were watching Jesus do what he did on this earth, and he may have received a little credit, but I don't think they have any idea how busy he was while he was here. You don't lose track of the fact that he was also busy running the universe. He was down here helping man while he was busy helping everything. And as a servant, let me tell you something. If you are a servant, if you have a servant's heart, nobody will ever notice everything that you do. It will not be recognized. God, whether we understand or not, God serves man. While you were busy breathing air, he was busy creating it. You probably weren't thinking while you were breathing it, somebody's providing it. There's a great service. If you don't believe me, try to go without it for a little while. While we were eating and we were busy eating, somebody was creating food. And while you were having corn on the cob, there was corn on the stalk that was growing somewhere. And God was serving us. And I happen to think one of the greatest things you and I could do to help people is to develop the right attitude about serving. And serving both God and people. You know, what's the most important position in the United States of America? Is it president? I'm not sure that's true. What's the most important position in a church? Is that pastor? I don't know that that's really the truth. What's the most important title on a ball team? Is it coach? I don't know, but I have a hunch that's not so. What is the most important title in the classroom? Is it teacher? What's the most important title in a home? Is it father? Is it husband? Is it parent? What's the most important title in the emergency room? Is it doctor? Or in an empire, is that title that's above all titles king? What's the most important title in a company? Would it be CEO, that corporate executive office? Or maybe in the Army, is it a five-star general? Is it in school administration? Is the most important title one could hold principal? What's the most, how about at a Bible college or at a college? What's the most important position? Would you say chancellor or principal? I happen to think that to God, the greatest title probably that a human can hold is servant. Do you know that probably, everybody can have an opinion about this, but I think the powerhouse of the Old Testament was Moses. What a powerful man. Do you know that when Moses passed away, Joshua said, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Now, Moses was a lot of things. But when God wanted to mention the death of Moses in Joshua's eulogy, God said, throw in that ultimate title of servant. I think there are too many people in life that seek title. Greatness in life is not achieved in titles. True greatness does not seek a title. True greatness seeks only to be a servant. Better yet, I think greatness seeks to serve, not to be served. What I'm going to say to you tonight, I promise you, I think it can help you in business. I think it can help you serve the Lord. It can help you in the church. I think it can help you at home. I just want to talk about being a servant for a little while and the general, maybe some general thoughts about the subject of being a servant. First of all, let me tell you, I think servants become great servants by making their task great, not by making themselves great. I believe that we, you and I, can help people, and that's what God wants. God, the ultimate servant, Jesus Christ came in the form of a what? A servant. That's a big deal. Notice that there's no fault in being a servant. There's no step down in being a servant. It's a step up in being a servant. You say, based on what? Based on the fact that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when he came down here on this earth, said, I'm coming in the form of a servant. Servant. But servants are not made successful or great by making themselves great. They're made successful or great by making the task great. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. This is kind of an attitude thing. You could be a married woman, or you could also be a homemaker. You know, there's something more to homemaker than just, I'm married. Hey, don't be a typist. Be a secretary. Be an administrative assistant. Look at what you do and make it big. You say, well, I don't think it's all that big. You need to rethink it then. Because any task worth doing is worth doing right. And God deserves our best. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Hey, servant, your job is not to make you big. Your job is to make what you do big. That is what creates accomplishment in life. That is what solves problems. Folks, when our pride and our ego get in this thing, that's when we goof it up. Hey, don't just be a cook. Be a chef. Don't just be a public speaker or teacher. Be an orator. Don't just be a bookkeeper. Be an accountant. Don't just be a pipe fitter. Be a plumber. Don't try to just be a custodian. Be a maintenance engineer. You're not just a handyman. You're a carpenter. You're a builder. What I'm saying is this, folks. Humility, yes. Humility and attitude, absolutely. But superiority in the quality of work that you do ought to always be the case. I said servants are made successful. Remember, servants are made successful not by making themselves successful, but by making their task successful. I really don't think preachers are made great by being called to big, great, famous churches. The greatest preachers I've ever known are preachers that went somewhere and made the work the important thing. Many of you have heard of Dr. Lee Robertson. Dr. Lee Robertson, you know, when he took his church, the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, when he took it over, it's just a small, numerically a small church. But you know what? That church didn't make Dr. Lee Robertson great. Lee Robertson helped to make that church great, and as a result of it, you know who Lee Robertson is today. There's many a man like that. You know, some of you hear about Dr. Jack Hiles. Now, at a church that at one point would be running 20,000 people, you say, "Why, sure, everybody'd know my name if I had a church of 20,000." The only thing is, you've got to get it from 400 to 20,000. You say, well, he started with 800. I know, but he lost 400 in the first year or two. They had a reorganization process took place there. But listen, who's the most famous soldier in World War II? I happen to think it was Sergeant York. If you think about it, he wasn't a general, he wasn't a major, he wasn't a colonel, he wasn't a captain, he wasn't a lieutenant. He was a sergeant. There's some rank there, but I'll tell you what, everybody heard that name, Sergeant York. You know what he did? He took a task of doing something one at a time. You know, when you're a sniper, one at a time, he made something pretty big of that. What is it? Did where he started make, did that make him great? No, what he did with where he started made him great. So I don't think servants are not made great by making themselves great. They're made great by making their task great. And while God is elevating their task, they go along with the task. Many of you have heard of Florence Nightingale. If you have not, to me, I think she was the nurse of nurses. Can one nurse influence the whole world? Why, sure. You say, how? Every day with compassion, treating a patient the right way. And then she has gone down in history. Did you know there is no doctor in history more famous than Florence Nightingale, the nurse? How many of you have ever heard of Florence Nightingale? Will you raise your hand? Now, other than Dr. Doolittle, most of you, there is not a doctor that is as famous as Florence Nightingale. And she earned the title, One Band-Aid at a Time. Florence Nightingale didn't try to make Florence Nightingale great. Florence Nightingale made nursing great, and as a result of it, she ended up with a title as the finest healthcare provider in history. So servants aren't made great by trying to make themselves great. They're made great by doing the task. Some of you have heard of the lady named Susanna Wesley. She started out, she was just a mother. She had a child, and then another, and then another, and then another. And don't pass out, ladies. She had 19 of them. I think it's 19. She had 19 children. One of them is John Wesley, another Charles Wesley. She didn't walk into a opportunity of greatness. She took the opportunity God gave her and treated it in a great way. She did it right. As a result of it, she became a success. So I really believe if you and I want to help people, the whole thing is you got to decide you want to be a servant. And a servant then isn't trying to exalt themselves. They're trying to take what they're doing and make it big in their attitude. Secondly, servants are often remembered while others are forgotten. Do you know a servant that just has the title servant? They're often remembered, and people with big titles are often forgotten. In John chapter 6, verse number 9, there's a boy who fed. Do you remember when the Bible says there is a lad here and he ends up feeding 5,000 people with his lunch and fish? Do you know all the other people there, all the executives, all the big shots there? We don't even know who their names are. We know there was a lad, and that lad gave a few fish and a few small loaves and he fed 5,000 people. You know, the lad went down in history. He's a pretty popular guy. Everybody's heard of the lad that fed all the people with his lunch. And I think too many times servants, they want to be remembered. Look, let me tell you something. You just do the task God's given you to do. Being remembered or not is not the issue. But I find often servants can be remembered while others with big title will be forgotten. For instance, I wonder who the king and queen was at that time. Nobody knows who the king and queen was when that lad was feeding 5,000 people, but everybody's heard of the lad. There was a little Syrian maid who pointed Naaman to the leper so Elisha could heal him. There's a story, and I'm not going to read it to you. This little gal, Naaman, was a mighty captain. He had leprosy, and there was a little Syrian maid. She was a slave girl. And she one day said to Naaman, said, look, if you'll go see Elisha, the man of God, you can get healed. And Naaman went to see Elisha, and he got healed. Do you know there's nobody here that could tell you who the king or the queen was at that time? But everybody that's been around the Bible for long have heard the story of that little maid girl. What was she? She's just serving. She was just serving. There's a preacher by the name of John Huss. He was burned at the stake. John Huss is a famous man in Christian history, but nobody knows who the king was that sentenced him to death. What was John Huss doing? He was just serving. Charles Finney, a preacher, was disowned by his preacher, his home pastor. His home pastor said, "I don't want anything to do with you." Does anybody know Charles Finney's home pastor's name? Anybody know the name Charles Finney? Did you know Charles Haddon Spurgeon was voted out of the London Baptist Association by seven men? Can anybody name one of the seven men that voted him out? Anybody ever heard of Charles Haddon Spurgeon? What were they doing? They weren't trying to make a name for themselves. What were they doing? They were just helping people, and they were just serving. That's all. And if you serve, if God wants you exalted, then let God do that. But you don't serve to get exalted. You serve to get the job done. That's what it's all about. Martin Luther was persecuted by a Roman pope. Anybody know that pope's name? Anybody ever heard of Martin Luther? What was he doing? Just doing what he's supposed to do. Showing up, work, doing what he's supposed to do. And to the you history buffs, if you knew the name, thanks for not mentioning it. So, servants are made great by making their tasks great, not by making themselves great. Servants oftentimes can be remembered because they served. And notice, we don't know all the names. We don't know the lad's name. We don't know the Syrian maid's name. But their task is famous. What were they doing? They were helping people. They were making a difference. Thirdly, here's one of the best things you could do if you say, "Preacher, I want to be a servant. I want to serve God. I want to be a servant." Then this is one of the things you have to work on. You got to get lost in a cause. You get lost in a cause. 1 Samuel 17:29, a verse I heard Brother Elswick using when he was preaching the youth revival the other day. There's a verse in there. It says, "Is there not a cause?" As a servant, you get lost in the cause. See, you don't become successful or great by deciding to become successful or great. You become successful as a servant by losing yourself in a cause and then make the cause great. I'll tell you about I wrote a book called Characters. It's got a subtitle: The One Thing You Can't Afford to Be Without. Oh no, it's One Thing Money Can't Buy. One Thing You Can't Afford to Be Without. It's a book called Characters. Some of you have seen it. When I originally wrote that, I used to just make. I was all the time quoting about character to my kids growing up. My wife said, "You got to write all that down. You got to write that down." And so we wrote it down. You know, I only prepared that book because I wanted to help my kids and my family first. And then some people said, "You maybe you ought to print that." So we printed it. I had no idea it would have seven printings and go around the world. I had no idea of that at all. My intent was not to try to write a book so that everybody would know about that book. My intent was to help my son and my daughter and serve them and teach them the things that some things that I had learned. You say, what was that? It was my cause. My cause was helping the people that I love. I'd been around some old timers and they were always talking about character and the things of character, and I thought, boy, you just don't hear people talk this way that much anymore. And I thought, I want to take those things that I'm learning and I want to pass it on. You know, for instance, Dr. John R. Rice started a newspaper years ago called The Sword of the Lord. You know, he didn't start the Sword of the Lord newspaper in an effort to become famous. He wrote it to help his generation get the gospel. What is it? That's his cause. But parents, you serve your children because there's a cause. You love your kids. You want them to turn out right. In our Christianity, we get behind a cause. And that cause helps us to serve. I think of, you've heard the name, and I recently use this. I use this name on Sunday night, Dr. Russell Anderson. He's a multimillionaire businessman. But, you know, he didn't invest his money in the Lord's work thinking that this would make him famous. He invested himself in the Lord's work because it became his cause. He said, "I want to help churches. I want to help Bible college. I want that." Well, you get lost in a cause, and it's amazing what you'll do for that cause. Some of you, You need to, what is your cause? You ought to have a cause to do something for God. You ought to have parents or better parents if they have a cause in regard to their children. Churches need a cause. You say, well, Pastor, what's our cause? We want to keep everybody out of hell that we can. So you understand my cause. I have no interest in building a big church. I never have. So what do you want to do? I want to help as many people as I can help. I want to get as many people saved as I can get saved. I want to help as many families as I can help families. I want to help as many teenagers stay pure as I can help. And if for some reason the numbers swell because we're busy helping people, so be it. But the cause is not to try to build the biggest church in New Bern. I have never had that as a goal, ever. Say, what's the cause? I just want to help as many people as I can help. And if we throw ourselves into that, you'd be amazed what might happen along the way. Remember, Jesus came as a servant. And you and I, if we want to be like Jesus, he was the greatest people helper ever. What was he doing? He was serving. Servants are not made successful by trying to make themselves successful. They're made successful by making their tasks successful. I said servants sometimes are remembered while people with big titles are forgotten. I think servants need to get lost in a cause. Let me tell you this also, number four. Servants don't care about titles. They're not worried about a title. Matthew 23:9 says, and call no man your father upon the earth. And this is not talking about daddy, father. This is talking about religious or leadership father. Servants aren't worried about their title. Servants see a need, and they fill the need. A title doesn't mean anything to a servant. Need fillers don't care about titles. People that have a message deep in their hearts, they don't care about titles. They just want to get the message out. People that have a cause are not worried about who gets credit. They're worried about, does the cause, is it fulfilled? Do we accomplish what we're to accomplish? People that have a calling are not worried about titles. They just want to fulfill that calling. You come to my office someday, you'll see I've got some famous preachers from the past, big pictures of them in my office. Now, I have a guy, he's hidden behind my door because he's a little sad looking. But this man, he felt like God had spoken to his heart, and he felt like he was to feed the poor and clothe the poor and get the gospel to them. And the truth is, he didn't care about corporate title. He just wanted to feed and clothe people. And by providing food and clothing, he would then present the gospel to them so that they would have salvation. His name was General William Booth. General William Booth is the founder of the Salvation Army. He got lost in the cause of feeding. Now, I realize the Salvation Army today is far removed from what it was originally, but I have to tell you this. The name William Booth is even known in corporate America, and the Salvation Army is known all around the world. But the man didn't say, I think I'll build a name for myself. The man said, I just want to feed as many people as I can. I want to put shoes on as many feet as I can. And in so doing, he used food and clothing virtually as a gift so that he could then present the gospel to the poor. And I think today he would prefer that they present the gospel than the food and clothing. It's more important that you get somebody to heaven than you get to fill their belly. Now, I'm for doing both, but I'm just saying they've kind of changed their purpose a bit. But look, servants, they're not looking for titles. Servants, there's a cause, and they just get lost in that cause. Servants can be remembered, and big shots can be forgotten. And servants aren't made successful by making themselves successful. Servants are made successful by making their task successful. Next, I think servants are not looking for prestige. They're not looking for authority. In Galatians 5:13, it says, but by love serve one another. Servants are not looking to see if anyone's looking. A servant can do their duty without anybody praising them. I'm not saying it's not good that we praise hard work and effort. But servants don't perform their task to be noticed. They perform their task to be used of God. Servants have to work, and they will work without an audience. Do you know there are some people that if they don't get credit, if they don't have an audience, if they don't have somebody patting them on the back, rubbing their belly, patting them on the head, they won't do their job. I'll show you your greatness. It's in the dark. It's when nobody sees you. There's where your greatness is. It's how hard will you work? Look, I can call on you to pray publicly, and you say, I'll do it. Amen. Well, look, that doesn't make you great. Did you pray today when nobody saw it? Servants are not looking for prestige, and servants are not looking for authority. A servant doesn't care if anybody recognizes them. You, Matt, what I've seen, some of the greatest servants I've ever seen, they prefer not to get recognition. They don't want recognition. Servants don't care if they're mentioned. The only person that, folks, the only person you and I need to impress, God. Say, how can I impress God? Stop worrying about what people think and serve God. And don't worry about whether you get a pat on the back or if you get a title. Get lost in the cause of Jesus Christ and say, I don't care who gets credit. In a way, it doesn't matter to me how it gets done. Let's just pull together and make this happen. And if families would even realize that, it's important for a family. Servants don't require their name to be printed. And servants are not out to be served, but they're out to do the serving. Servants are not out to be respected, they're out to provide respect. And I think one of the greatest things you and I can do in life is be servants. The great servants that I've seen are not quitters, and that's my next point. Servants, they don't suffer public humiliation and quit. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. I think the greatest title that you and I can hold is one of servant. Husbands and wives, let me teach you something. Serve each other. Serve each other. You say, I want my rightful position. Let me explain something. Serve. And I think sometimes serving is setting up guidelines and you know, making decisions. But I could take some of the most miserable homes and some of the most miserable marriages, and if you can just get a husband to serve his wife and a wife to serve her husband, and there not be animosity and pulling for position and rank, just serve each other. It makes things work. Obviously, in the secular world for years, there were times when I was supervising and managing before I went into the ministry. Every once in a while, I got a crew of people that they just didn't care about accolades and all. We worked for a good boss. He paid us. And you know what? When I could get that team to pull together, what we could get done was phenomenal because we weren't worried about who was out in front and who was getting praised and who was going to get what. It was get the job done and do it right. And wow, that was incredible. And most of the time, this is what it took. It took me as a manager to have my elbows into the grease and to be out there working right alongside them. And once they realized I was not worried about my position, I was worried about let's just get this done, it worked. If in a church, which the church, we serve God, but we serve people, if we will all just decide, I just want to get the job done, that's all. I don't have to have a pat on the back. I don't have to be exalted. I don't have to get credit. I just want to get the job done. That makes a church great. It makes a church great. And you don't find, true servants, they're not quitters much. They really are not. I never heard, and I didn't have, mega doses of time with these men, but I've preached with all these men, and I've spent time with them and had personal appointments and ate meals with them. I never heard Lee Robertson say, I'm going to quit. I never heard Tom Malone say, I'm going to quit, or Jack Hiles say, I'm going to quit. But you see, they were caught up in a cause, and they just wanted to get the job done. That's all. And they weren't worried about being publicly humiliated. They just wanted to get the job done. There was a cause. There was something that needed to be done, and they wanted to be a part of it, and they wanted to get it done. Great people, I don't think they entertain the thought of quitting on God. Servants don't whine around contemplating quitting. The great Joshua was Moses' assistant. And when Moses passed, God let Joshua step up and take the place of leadership. You know, Joshua could have gotten discouraged when Moses quit. He could have said, when Moses died. When Moses died, Joshua could have said, I quit. He did not. Why? He was caught up in the cause. Let me give you a couple more thoughts about a servant, and we'll be done. Servants, they learn how to use what they have. You remember the story of the widow and her mites? Mark chapter 12, verse 41, it used these words, the poor widow hath cast in more than all. So here's this widow, and all she has is a couple mites. You know that she went down in history by using what she had. She gave of what she had. Servants, and let me help you, servants figure out a way to get the job done with what they have. The purest attitude for a servant is not to complain that I can't because I'm limited. It's, I'll do the best I can with what I have. That's a good servant attitude. Wife, you say, boy, if I had this, that, and the other, I'd be a better wife. Be the best wife you can with what you have. Husband, you say, I'd be a better husband or dad if I had this, that, or the other. Won't you be the best dad you can with what you have? With what you have. Preachers say, if I had more buildings, I'd get more people. I happen to believe God wants you to have so many people that He has to give you more buildings. Well, if I had a different area, Preacher Croom, all over the country, everybody wants somebody else's area. I tell you what, if I was in this state or that state, your problem is you're in the state of confusion. Preachers say, well, if I had a different people. I heard a guy once say, ministry wouldn't be bad if it weren't for people. I agree. If I had more money, okay. But if you don't have more money and different people in a different area and bigger buildings, what are you going to do? Just sit there? I say to young preachers all the time, I know you want a bigger building, and I know you want more money, and I know you want more people. Now, how are you going to do that? Just keep telling me your wish list and why you're not doing something. Use what you have and get as much of the job done as you can with what you have. Oh, do I hate working with people that will stand around and say, well, if I had a bigger shovel, we'd get this hole dug. And I'd say, bud, use the shovel you have. And if you'd stop griping and put a little of your mouth energy into your foot and push that shovel in the ground, we might dig a hole. Oh, if I had a bigger hammer, well, use the hammer you have. Right now, you don't have a bigger hammer. I think God looks down and He says, if you'll use what you have, I could provide more later. But don't use what you have as an excuse. Realize it's a blessing. Servants don't look for excuses, but they look for solutions. Servants learn not to accept their own excuses. Do you know what most excuses are? It's you talking to you. It's you justifying to yourself why you're not doing what you could. The widow, she didn't say, I'd give if I had more. She said, I'll give what I have. And went down in history. You know that Samson, there were Philistines coming upon him, hundreds, thousand. He could have said, if I had a machine gun right now, I could take these guys out. If I had a bazooka right now. He looked down and there was a jawbone of an ass. He said, that'll do. You know the story? He beat the snot out of him. With what? Jawbone. What was he doing? He said, there's a cause. I'll take what's available to me. I'll go as far as I possibly can with what's made available to me. And then, have I pushed it to the limit? If God wants more, He'll provide. But until then, I'm not looking to make excuses. I'm looking to make progress, and I will. Real servants don't want to live off of everybody else's success. They want to be successful. Let me give you one last little thought about servants. And remember, the Bible says that Jesus came, he was God, come in the form of a servant. And to me, it's an exalted position in life. And why did he come? He came to serve you and he came to serve God. And if you and I want to help people, we've got to take on the right attitude. Let me give you one more point. Number eight, servants should work at not being easily offended. And I think servants in the purest form are not easily offended. We've all heard the verse, Psalm 119:165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know that servants are not worried about their reputation. Servants just want to serve. If a servant doesn't get promotion, they don't go home whining and crying. So what do? Well, they go ahead and do the job with or without promotion, because promotion wasn't their goal. The cause, getting the job done, getting the work done, accomplishment was. No praise to a servant doesn't stop them. Now, I want you all to know, I think it's a good idea for husbands to praise their wives and for wives to praise their husbands. I think it's a good idea for parents to praise their children and children to praise their parents. Well, I think leaders ought to praise followers and followers leaders, but I don't think anybody ought to have it. Well, nobody ever thanks me. I'm not doing it. You're the exact opposite of a servant. Servants enjoy the praise when it comes, but if it doesn't come, they still make the cookies. They still make the cookies. They still make the cookies. Men, we don't praise our wives often enough when they make the cookies. Tonight, we're going to make up for it. Praise God for those women that make cookies. Servants don't want or need everybody's respect and honor, so whatever is said, they're just going to keep on going. I don't think I ought to attack you and try to hurt your reputation, and I don't think you ought to attack me and try to hurt my reputation, but look, if I said something that tended to hurt you or you said something that tended to help me, you know, you need to keep on serving God. I need to keep on serving God. This is not all about our reputation. It's all about Jesus and getting the job done. Some of you who are quickly and easily offended, you need to work on that. You need to get back to the point where getting the job done is more important to you than how you're treated, what you get out of it. And again, let me say, boy, if you're an employer, I think you ought to treat your employees right. And I think they ought to be rewarded. And I'm for that. I'm not telling you that that's not right. I think it's right. I think it's good. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to be a servant, you got to decide you're just going to do the job. And you're not going to spend your life with what do I get out of it. You're going to spend your life on what does God get out of it. And it's not what do I be, what is it, what am I going to get, but what am I going to become because I give God what He's going to get. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 7, let this mind be in you. He's telling you, think God's way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant. How in the world is it that Jesus helped you and I? I mean, he really served us. He made heaven available. He meets our needs. Think about it, folks. How many of our needs would be met if Jesus said, you're not thanking me enough? Doesn't he keep meeting our needs even when we've forgotten he met them? Wonder if Jesus said, you have not praised me enough, you don't get any more air to breathe. We'd all be dead. He keeps serving. And I think he deserves all honor and all glory and all praise and all majesty. He deserves it all. And I'm not saying it's okay that you don't. I'm saying he is the purest form of a servant. He's not out for exaltation. He came down from heaven where he was God and took on the form of man. To do what? Serve you and me. And we need to make sure we serve God and man the same way. That's what Jesus did. And that'll help people. I would love it. And I think we have this. I think the church has had this. I want people to look at our church and not think that we're all in it for us. We're in it to help people. I want people to say, that church will help you. They'll figure it out. That's how it ought to be. And your Sunday school classes, folks, it's not all about you, the teacher. It's all about them, the student, and he, the God. This is all about serving people, serving God, serving one another. You will, if we'll do this in attitude, just in attitude, when we're all working around here, if everybody will keep a servant's attitude, you will not have contention between two people. You will not. Because even in attitude, you'll say, it's not my job to be the preeminent one. It's not my job to win. It's my job to make sure that it gets done. So my attitude has to stay the attitude of a servant. And if we'll do that, we'll help people. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope tonight that you see that being a servant's a big deal. And we have some wonderful servants in our church. Thank God for them. But all of us, don't push for position. You say, well, I want to be this. I want to be that. I really believe this. God has called me to pastor. But I'll tell you right now, when I graduated from Bible college, I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, it doesn't matter to me whether I pastor or I assist a pastor or what I do. I just want to get the most I can done for God. And I've always felt that way. I mean, if there's somebody sitting in these pews right now and they could pastor my church better than me, I don't know why I couldn't give it to them, let them do it. The whole purpose is to get the job done, not what you get out of it, or that you're exalted, or you get attention. And if you get your feelings hurt, you have left the position of servant. You need to get that back in your life. Serve your husband, serve your wife, serve your kids, serve your parents, serve. Who here would say, Preacher, God spoke in my heart. I've learned something tonight, something I can put into my life. I want to work at that. And you would let God see your hand by raising your hand and say, I'm work at that. There's some things I could do. I could help myself and help people. God bless you. You can put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need to come and pray, you want to come and say, Lord, I needed this. I need to realize that serving God is most important, not what people look to me as, but what I'm doing for people. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Serving. You young people need to realize, boy, mom and dad serve you, and some of you don't, you just don't realize. You don't realize as mom and dad pay those bills and keep you in the Christian school and put food in your belly and clothes on your back. And even as mom and dad help you to develop your character and your integrity, boy, they're serving you. They're serving you. Some of you young people, you teenagers, would get along with your mom and dad better if you'd start serving them some. Serve mom, serve dad, help them, find what they need, meet their needs. Every person in here that is a teacher, good teachers serve their students. You say, well, how do you do that? Give them truth and give them what they need to succeed. A teacher that doesn't teach has not served their student well. We're going to meet need. Everybody in here that's an employee, don't take on the attitude of this day and this generation that the boss owes you everything. No, you're to go to work, and so you understand it, you're to go to work and serve. I don't get the promotion I deserve. God's watching. God's watching. Service. Serving. This is the last time through the song. Ushers, make sure you have both prayer bulletins and financial statements. Seat there if